You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. February. Before our misrulers forced us into reverent observance of Black History Month, used to have a notable holiday called Washington's Birthday, which always fell on the 22nd of the month. In some states, there was an additional observance of Lincoln's birthday as a separate event on a different day. All that is no more. Now that dead white males are officially deprecated by the anti-white establishment. Washington's and Lincoln's days have been compressed into President's Day, which originally was sold to us on the basis of celebrating the births of both men on one day. But now even that pretense is being abandoned, and we are told, on the rare occasion that the holiday's meaning is even mentioned at all, that the appliance and junk food sales and sports events are somehow honoring all presidents, or something to that effect. No one is really sure anymore. A certain sign of a terminal stage nation. Well, American Dissident Voices is a good place for discussing dead presidents, too, so let's roll with the times. Maybe what we have to say will jar some rusty neurons loose. George Washington is a name the establishment would like to forget. Our first president opposed the kind of foreign alliances and entanglements that the Jews are so fond of these days, would have cut the APAC Zionists off without a penny, and would have been aghast at the war on terror that really is an endless series of wars for Israel. Washington also signed a bill into law making it illegal for anyone who wasn't white to become a citizen of the United States. Makes Trump look like a far-left white hater in comparison. Thomas Jefferson not only continued the all-white citizenship policies of Washington when he became president, but he was personally the author of a law making racial mixing a felony and attempted to push a plan for the deportation of all blacks from the United States. He was also a strong opponent of the money men who were even then trying to enslave the American people with their private money creation schemes through so-called national banks. Now that the money men, today almost all Jews or those closely allied with the Jewish power structure, have succeeded in enslaving Americans, this history is seldom taught to young Americans. Our racial enemies are increasingly moving to remove Washington's and Jefferson's names from our nation's pantheon of honor, precisely because of the good things these presidents said and did for us. Monrovia, Liberia, was named after President James Monroe, who also worked with a group called the American Colonization Society, which established that new nation in Africa for the specific purpose of sending blacks there. And some thousands were sent. Another fiery and successful opponent of the money men was President Andrew Jackson, who destroyed the so-called Bank of the United States, which was a precursor to the so-called Federal Reserve, which steals the wealth of our people today through usury on an even larger scale. Jackson also greatly expanded the territory of our all-white nation at the expense of the Amerindians he ruled or conquered. There are plans now in place to remove Jackson's portrait from the $20 bill and replace it with a picture of a grotesque negress, another sign of a terminal stage nation. Everyone knows about Abraham Lincoln and his Emancipation Proclamation, but almost no one is aware of Lincoln's actual racial views. I wonder why that is. Like Jefferson before him, Lincoln favored the repatriation of blacks to Africa and believed that the millions of freed slaves should on no account simply be allowed to run free in our society. Near the end of his life, he even met with prominent blacks in an effort to move forward with his plan of total, continental-scale racial separation. The anti-white elements in his own party torpedoed his efforts, and some say they killed him. Ulysses S. Grant, Lincoln's general and later successor after Andrew Johnson, has seen his star fall rather rapidly in the esteem and faux honors of the establishment in recent years, perhaps because of one simple thing he did during the war when he was the de facto governor of huge occupied and devastated territories in the American South. As they always seem to do during times of chaos, Jews had moved into those territories, monopolizing and charging scalper prices for basic necessities, buying up valuable properties for pennies, and generally exploiting and further impoverishing a prostrate, conquered, and desperate people. Grant saw the parasite's behavior as intolerable and also as tending to destroy the reputation and effectiveness of his regime, and so became the first, but we hope not the last, leader in American history to completely ban Jews from the territories under his control. In this case, a gigantic multi-state area. President Theodore Roosevelt, though totally blind to the toxic nature of the Jews, was proud to be a white man and stated in no uncertain terms that America was a white man's land and expounded on the glories and practical benefits of the white man's conquest of the vast North American continent. Woodrow Wilson, for all his many faults, was nevertheless a strong proponent of a white America. He said, quote, "I stand for the national policy of exclusion. The whole question is one of assimilation of diverse races. We cannot make an homogeneous population of a people who do not blend with the Caucasian race." Close quote. So his star has been falling too. President Calvin Coolidge signed the 1924 Immigration Act into law. It was this law that was repealed at Jewish insistence in 1965. This repeal effectively opened our borders, and America has become less and less white with each passing year since then. The 1924 Act, signed by Coolidge, who, though a waffler, did say that America must be kept American, required that immigrants from any national group could only come here in proportion to their already existing proportion of the U.S. population, thereby, its proponents hoped, maintaining a racial status quo. In practical effect, it was somewhat more successful than that. Non-whites, not even trying in many cases because of the disincentive, and America became slowly whiter and whiter from 1924 to 1965, peaking above 90% when I was 9 years old. President Eisenhower was a disgusting traitor to his own people during World War II, and it's hard for me even to speak of him without cursing. But he was hired to rule the old America, and as such, found it not only possible but necessary to institute Operation Wetback in 1954. This was a massive effort by immigration authorities to cleanse America of illegal invaders brought here as stoop labor for profit-hungry capitalists. More than a million were removed in that year alone. Operation Wetback had widespread support. All of these actions by all of these presidents are worthy of remembrance. We should think of them on this President's Day, and we should be emboldened and inspired by them. They make the tough guy talk of President Trump look unbelievably lame in comparison. But they were not enough. Not enough by far. They were not enough to prevent the present. They were not enough to prevent the takeover of America by anti-white aliens and traitors. Making citizenship open only to whites was not enough and is not enough. Making race mixing a felony was not enough and is not enough. Planning to send all blacks back to Africa and even sending some thousands of them there was not enough and is not enough. Utterly destroying the usurer's national bank and imprisoning some of its agents was not enough and is not enough. Expelling all Jews from a huge swath of the United States by decree was not enough and is not enough. An immigration law that blatantly favored white Europeans, even one so successful that it caused the steady increase of the white population to over 90%, was not enough and is not enough. A military-style operation with all of the resources of the federal government at its disposal that forcibly expelled more than a million non-white invaders was not enough. And is not enough. No, none of those actions were enough to accomplish what we must accomplish. And the puny efforts of Trump, even if he had gotten everything he wanted, are completely dwarfed by these totally inadequate actions. Look at Operation Wetback. For all its success, it was not based explicitly on race. No, it was just an attempt at enforcing the technical requirements of labor and immigration laws, which had been brazenly flouted. But race was never mentioned. And within a few years, those laws were being flouted all over again, and even more brazenly. And the immigration law writers and law enforcers were even more craven and even less inclined to admit, even to themselves, that what was really needed was an explicit defense of the white race. No. That was unthinkable. And the creators and promoters of the 1924 Immigration Act were just as cowardly. Instead of naming Jewish immigration as the clear and present danger that it was, they used weasel words and simply put limits on Southeastern European immigration, without naming Jews at all, preventing some numbers of perfectly white people from coming here in the process. Instead of simply doing what needed to be done and saying, no non-whites now or ever, they had to pretend that non-whites were perfectly welcome as long as the sacred 1920 census percentages of various nationalities were maintained. A leadership class that has to hedge and weasel in such a manner and dares not proudly proclaim their intention to protect their own race has already lost the battle. None of these presidential actions, though our enemies would call them extreme acts of racism, was enough then, and they would not be enough now. They did not prevent the present. Only a national alliance government, a government based on the eternal principles of race, and whose very purpose and highest values are the eternal survival and upward evolutionary progress of our race, will do. By building a new consciousness, we are building a new community that will give birth to a new nation and a new people. Help us, support us, join us today.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. we know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, 1 beat. 100 hearts, 1 beat. 10,000 hearts, 1 beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
I want to encourage all of you to remember how high the stakes really are right now in the battle for freedom. And the information war is paramount. That's why it's more important than ever that you spread the word about InfoWars.com and send out the link so people can watch the free feeds and get the free podcast and download the free iPhone and Android apps at InfoWars.com/show. It is critical that we be able to email you when we're being cyber attacked or shut down. Sign up to get our email alerts at InfoWars.com/newsletter. And finally, we have launched our new free app at InfoWars.com/app. You can download it on iPhone, Android. Once you've downloaded the free app at InfoWars.com/app, you can then, if you choose, pay $4.95 a month to get InfoWars Prime. We produce documentaries, special reports, live events, and so much more on a daily and weekly basis just for Prime members. We also have daily specials, sometimes as much as 50% off for members of InfoWars Prime. InfoWars has come a long way, and InfoWars Prime is just one more weapon in the fight for liberty.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man. They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they say, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter, animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them and let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.